Good evening, everybody. Please turn your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5, 14. All right, let's take a moment of silent prayer now. This will give us an opportunity to name and cite known sins, if we have any. And that way, we're sure that we're mentored by God, the Holy Spirit, that there's no unresolved issues in our soul. And if there's anything bothering you, disturbing you, now's not the time to concentrate on any problems or difficulties. Now's the time to give your attention to the Word of God as it's being taught. So let's take a moment to prepare. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die as a substitute for the human race, sinless sacrifice, paying the price for the sins of the world so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Father, we also want to thank you that he was raised from the dead bodily and that he ascended into heaven and is seated at your right hand. And at your right hand, he is the head of the church. And that whosoever believes in Christ is entered into the body of Christ. And that these things are permanent, that we cannot lose our salvation. These are things, Father, that we need to celebrate every day. Because there's so many other pressures and difficulties and problems that we also face. And we know that it is your truth that sets us free. And the truth of your word that promises the content, particularly of the New Testament. And Father, we do also tonight bring to your attention, as we know you're omniscient, but we also know that you want us to ask, and we're asking tonight for you, Father, for your grace to come through for different members of the royal family that are facing difficult obstacles and challenges and problems right now. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. All righty, a couple of announcements this evening. First of all, it is Wednesday, so that we do have a prayer meeting tonight after service. Welcome all of you who can make it to be part of that prayer service this evening. Also, I want to let you know that on Sunday, November 18th, we're going to have a special service. Heard a lot of requests from people in the congregation over the last few months in particular concerning the issue of evangelizing Jewish people. And because of that, we've invited Dr. Rich Freeman of Chosen People Ministries. He's going to present Messiah in the Passover on November 18th. So please mark that down in your calendars. If you have friends that are Jewish that you may think may be open to that kind of a message, if you also have friends who may be Christian but are have it on their heart to evangelize the Jewish people, it's a great opportunity for them to meet a person who's dedicated to that as his ministry and also to see the truths in the Passover meal that point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, our Thanksgiving service this year will be on Tuesday, November 20th. And also, basics class will be next Tuesday, October 30th. So that will be the next basics class. And I think that's it. So if we haven't already, please turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews 5, 14. The title of this evening's message is Discerning Evil Trends in Christianity. Discerning Evil Trends in Christianity. And Christianity is in quotes, meaning that very often where these evil trends are showing up, it's really pseudo-Christianity. And very often that the leaders of these movements and so forth are not even believers, but they are presented as being Christians. And as a result, we have to deal with that because many people are unfortunately deceived by that sort of thing. And so we need to address it. I got to tell you that I've said this before. One of the things I enjoy least in my job is spending time with apostasy, reading about it, studying it and so forth. There's just something very difficult about it. In fact, we're all, you know, subject to, we've got to be careful about the amount of lies that we put in front of us. And I'm no different from you. All of a sudden you can find out that we have certain tendencies in our souls. Like, for example, tendencies to want to, see people, you know, born again and saved. That's an awesome tendency. And a tendency to have a compassion for people. But that can sometimes, you know, spill over into trying to put aside doctrinal differences that are absolutely essential. And that's part of what we may get to tonight when we talk about what are some of the evil trends in Christianity that are look good to many, many people. And so hopefully we're going to get to that tonight so I can move on and not have to study it anymore. No, I'm just keep teasing you. I'm going to be studying it some more. There's some material I want to bring out about that. I don't think we'll get to it all tonight. We're on the doctrine of spiritual gifts. We're on point four, developing the capacity that you need to function effectively in your spiritual gift. We're looking at the issue of discernment, which we've been on for a couple of weeks now. The idea that we need to examine everything carefully using the truth from God's word to be able to separate what's from God and what isn't in our daily lives. We need to have discernment because we live in the devil's world. And in fact, he's a counterfeiter. And in fact, the Bible says that in the last days leading up to the end of the church age, leading up to the rapture, there'll be more apostasy than ever. There'll be more and more people who are looked to be members of the church, but are falling away from the teachings of the Bible into myths and into false teaching and into doctrines of demons. And so these things are all around us. And our natural mind is not capable of distinguishing what's from God and what isn't. And then we've most recently been looking at the question, how do I get it? That's why we're in Hebrews chapter 5. How do I get spiritual discernment? How do I become a spiritually discerning person? And so we've been in Hebrews chapter 5, and we've seen there that discernment is performed by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's important. That means, first of all, that you have to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You have to be a believer in order to get the benefit of spiritual discernment. Also, it uses the tools of Bible doctrine, but it's not Bible doctrine written on a piece of paper. It's the doctrine that's already been tested and found in the soul of the individual that the Holy Spirit is assisting in being discerning. And meaning that in addition to being a believer, we have to learn the Word of God on a regular basis. And we have to use it. We have to obey it. We have to use the Word of God when it's tested and then found in our soul as tested sound principles of the Word of God. Those are the tools that the Holy Spirit can use to make sure we're more discerning in the future. And it's all done under the exercise of our priesthood, because in the church age, each and every believer is a priest. And that's brought us to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews, of course, being the book about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and concerning him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, basic doctrine, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, more advanced doctrine, because he is an infant. Please notice that the subject matter in verses 11, 12, and 13 all has to do with the truth of the Word of God. Being able to hear it, being able to learn more and have more communicated about the person of Jesus Christ in verse 11, having much to say. Verse 12, the issue of believers who ought to be teachers. In other words, there are many believers who have learned the Word of God for a long time, and yet because of that, they ought to be teachers, but something's happened that's caused them to once again need to be taught the elementary principles of the Word of God. And then in verse 13, it talks again about milk, which is basic doctrine. And again, it talks about the Word of righteousness. Again, the subject is the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. And then in verse 14, which we spent a lot of time on, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so discernment, we see, comes on the scene in verse 14. And we see that once again, what we're introduced to is the subject of the Word of God, advanced doctrine, solid food. And that is for the spiritually mature. Why? How do they become spiritually mature? Because of practice. What is that? Learning and obeying God's word again and again. The focus, the center is God's word, and having a daily commitment to learning it and then having an ongoing commitment to obeying it so that you have a life and a soul steeped in God's word. Those people are the people that become discerning people that can distinguish evil trends in Christianity when most around them don't see there any problem at all in what's happening. But because you've been taught and you've learned the Word of God and you have your spiritual senses trained, you can observe these things and you can see that something's not quite right about them. Something that many others would miss because they don't have a soul full of doctrine. They're not trained. They don't have had those distinctions made by the Holy Spirit about what different parts of the Word of God mean. And having those things brought out in our daily lives when we apply the Word of God, That is the recipe, as it were, for becoming a discerning person, learning and obeying God's word again and again. Because of that, they have their senses trained. And again, this is spiritual senses, spiritual apparatus that talks about our soul and our human spirit. Our soul and our human spirit. Those have been vigorously exercised. How? By applying God's word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Please notice again the combination of application of the word of God and the Holy Spirit on the scene. Those are the two aspects of discernment that you always want to keep front and center. You know, today, when I was looking through some of the materials that I'd gathered together on the issue of apostasy happening right now in the church, I had to realize that of myself, I've got a lot of weaknesses, and that it's not as if I can just sit in a corner and think that on my own I'm always going to be able to be discerning. I need God the Holy Spirit actively involved when I'm in that work. I need to know that if I feel like I'm not getting something, if I feel like I'm being tugged in a direction that I know is wrong, but I need the Word of God. I need to be strengthened in my soul at that moment in order to be able to have the right perception about what I'm dealing with. I realized my need for two things: the Word of God, alive and powerful, and God the Holy Spirit, there is my helper, the one who actually does the discernment. You know, it's humbling, but we need to realize that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to at any point. Now, it is true that as we have this habit of learning the Word of God, there is something happening. We are being built up. We are maturing. And that is fantastic. But at the same time, believe me, the challenges that we're going to face are also going to become more and more difficult at times. There really is a progress in the spiritual life that is accompanied by more and more difficulty in terms of the issues that are going to be put before us. You know, we're witnesses, and we're witnesses to show that God's word always works, that God's plan is perfect, that the Holy Spirit, He that's inside us, is greater than He that's in the world. And as a person becomes more and more advanced in that, learning more of the Word of God, having more of the edification, that being built up, having more and more familiarity with how the Holy Spirit mentors us, and being finely tuned in terms of our perception of how the Holy Spirit uses God's word to guide us. As that happens, then God can feel comfortable, as it were, using a human viewpoint of it, I guess, but putting us in situations that are more challenging, promoting us. But promotion also means putting us in situations that are more challenging, where it's more difficult to discern what's going on at times. That can happen maybe when you're being put in a position where you're really starting to exercise your spiritual gift and you're dealing with people in a new way that you hadn't dealt with them before. Or it might be a situation on your job, or a situation where you've gone out and you've really stuck your neck out to evangelize, or you've stuck your neck out to stand up for some principles of God's word in your family or in your social circle. You're going to find that there's going to be more difficulty and more pressure. And I'm not necessarily physical. It may not be anything that anybody else notices. It's just issues and things that come where you're going to have that power from God's word and the mentorship of the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with the attacks that come, those fortresses, as it were, that are arrayed against the word of God. And so we need to always be realizing that we're dependent on the Lord. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're dependent on the mind of Jesus Christ. And as soon as we move away from that, we're going to be sitting ducks for the lies, just like everybody else. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's one of the lessons that I was learning today, even as I was looking through some of this material and, you know, seeing some things that to the human point of view, and I am a human being. I know it doesn't surprise anybody who's been around me for any length of time, right? Like my family in particular, like, oh boy, is he ever. But yeah, and the thing about it is that I've got those things, you know, the deception is deception for a reason. Because it works, because people are deceived by it. Counterfeits are counterfeits for a reason, because they are really close to the truth. And so it's, this stuff is designed by the kingdom of darkness to try to sway people. And Jesus Christ said that, watch out, particularly in the last days, because these things, these signs, these wonders, these things that look great and marvelous, they're designed, if possible, he said, to deceive even the elect, meaning the believers. Believers that are going forward in the plan of God. So it's humbling, and we have to always come back to, okay, so what is it that I am laying my confidence on? Is it me? No way. It never is. It's always what he has done, who he is, who Jesus Christ is, his thinking, the fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the mind of Jesus Christ, the word of God. This is our security blanket. This is our bulwark, our protection against all those lies that are out there. And even the protection against the weaknesses in ourselves that would be tempted to try to go in a certain direction. It's the word of God, alive and powerful. Because we vigorously exercise applying God's word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we now have something that results, resulting in discernment, a quality, a capacity that we have. And it means to be able to discern, remember, to distinguish the genuine and the counterfeit. You know, sometimes, it's so interesting because there are times when the issue is people are not recognizing the genuine. This is very true with the gospel. You know, I was thinking about the difference between situations where what Satan is doing is taking 99% of the truth and sticking a little lie in. That's the counterfeit. Other times, what's happening out there is that we're bombarded with lies and the truth is sitting there and nobody sees it. And that's more true of the gospel. What Satan has done very effectively when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ is to pump out so many counterfeits, even within so-called Christian circles. Even with, if I name names tonight, there'd be some very popular names that have to come out of my mouth of people that don't teach the gospel right. Or teach, for example, that there's no difference between the basic teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and fundamental and evangelistic Christianity, which many, many people out there, they get a lot of press and have a big spotlight on them and are close to powerful people and show up at all these political rallies and so forth. They're part of the problem when that comes to that particular issue, by the way. So what does that mean? It means that we're bombarded with the lies to try to prevent people from seeing the simplicity of the gospel. And I never get tired of saying it, that Jesus Christ came. He's the God-man. He's the Son of God. He became human. He was born of the Virgin, and he lived here. He had a life of 33 years, and then he went to the cross. And there on the cross, in he's human as well as divine, and he's perfect in his humanity. He goes to the cross, and God the Father pours out all of the sins of the world. That's what Peter said. It came on his body on the tree. That's what Peter said. And make sure we realize he's a human being there, perfect sacrifice. And he paid the price. He was judged for all the sins of the world. Every human being sins, past, present, and future, all judged in Jesus Christ on the cross. He's the perfect sacrifice. And God the Father looked at that sacrifice on the cross, and he said, he declared that he was perfectly satisfied with that on behalf of the entire human race. And then Jesus Christ goes to the grave, and he's buried. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead. He's raised up bodily, so he has a resurrection body in his humanity. And he never ceases being 100% God and 100% man. He'll be that way forever. And he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And whoever believes in him, trusts in that work of Christ on the cross as being complete for satisfaction for all of your sins and the complete means by which you become born again and have eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Faith alone in Christ alone. That's the gospel. And I never get tired of saying it. You should never get tired of hearing it. But more importantly, you should pay attention to when you're in a Christian situation to see whether or not that is what is being preached. Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ or is it something else? And I may tonight or tomorrow night, one of the things that's really on my heart in looking at this issue of what's happening in the church now, what are the evil trends in the church? Young people are on my heart. And the reason is because you're more likely to travel in circles and be exposed to this kind of thing than a lot of us older people are. And the reason is because you're out there, you may be in so-called Christian schools where it's going on. You may leave us and go to college where you have to be faced with a whole new set of issues. There may be some institutions there that call themselves Christians, but they're not really teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're teaching something else. And so my heart is for the young people in this area in particular. And so, but not just the young people, because all of us may be exposed to this kind of thing. We may get dragged in certain kind of political thing that we like, and all of a sudden they're trying to link together the political and the Christian as if it's one and the same, and it's not. There's a reason why Jesus Christ said, the things that are Caesar's give to Caesar, and the things that are God's give to God, and keep those two things separate. So all of us may come across this, but particularly the young people, I'm concerned about the idea that when you're not with us, and there's other things going on in your life, that these attacks will come. And if you're not protected ahead of time by realizing how to tell the counterfeit from the real when it comes to Christianity, then you could fall into these kind of traps and have a difficult time, and I don't want that for you. So this is what discernment is all about, and it's from God's Word. You stick close to God's Word, you'll be in great shape. I mean, that's the good news. You know, you stick close to God's Word, you'll be in great shape. That's the reason why it was so difficult for me today studying, and I know I'm not complaining, I love my job, but was because I had to go outside of God's Word, you see. I had to go out there and find out what is it that are some of the evil trends that are being projected onto the church that aren't part of the authentic Word of God. That's when I get into trouble. Well, as long as I'm concentrating on God's Word, I'm fine. And that is the answer. But sometimes as a pastor teacher, I do have to look out and see what's happening to protect people from some of these lies in any event. Discerning good and evil, resulting in discernment of both the genuine. Sometimes the issue is recognizing the genuine, recognizing when God's plan is calling for you to move in a certain direction. And not to believe the lies that would prevent you from going in that direction. Sometimes it's discerning the genuine, what the genuine Word of God really is, what it really means. Other times it's discerning the counterfeit. That's not true. That's a lie. And you need the same tool, right? The Word of God in your soul and God the Holy Spirit. But having a lifestyle and practicing that on a regular basis. Now, on Sunday, we finished our look in Genesis 3 concerning the first lie that was ever told to the human race, and it involved a certain tree, if you remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was that tie-in between Hebrews 5:14 and Genesis chapter 3 concerning the subject of good and evil. And we saw that the Lord had placed in the garden the tree of life, which was just that. It was pure life. It was the life of God. It was the ash wind represented God providing perfectly for the human spirit. And it was there. And then there was that other tree associated with good and evil. But it was associated with knowledge of good and evil, as we saw. And we saw that because of that, we have to understand that Satan has a system of false knowledge. That's what the world system is all about. That's what we've been studying, these doctrines of demons. It's a system of knowledge, remember. And we saw that sometimes we have to step back and understand that God's life is what he's ultimately calling us to. And as great as knowledge is, and it is great, and there's a lot in the New Testament about it. We've just been talking tonight about the Word of God, which is knowledge. It's content. You know, it's not just feelings. It's not just an experience, right? It's content. But ultimately, this life, as the Bible says, is to know Jesus Christ and to know God, as John 17 says. That's the objective. It's the knowledge leading to the life of God. And so sometimes we have to understand that's the God's teaching us through the Word of God is leading us to that. And that one of the reasons why it's important to know this is that God's life cannot be counterfeited by Satan. I hope you realize that when you believed in Jesus Christ and you were regenerated, that means born again, one of the things that happened was that you were given eternal life. Satan cannot counterfeit that. And that's something, the possession that you have, that he cannot counterfeit. And that so much of the truth that we're learning is to set us free so that we can live that life. And we're going to see a little bit more of that. The life of God is something that Satan can't counterfeit. You see, he can counterfeit preachers. And so we always have to be, as it were, on our guard when we're dealing even with preachers, which is it's kind of a shocking thing. I know as a young person, this is one of the most shocking things that when I had to realize that there were people that stood up in front of me for a long time and they weren't telling me what was in the Bible. But they were telling me lies. That's a hard thing the first time you come across it. Every time you come across it. And Satan can counterfeit doctrine. He has doctrines of demons. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He can counterfeit power. Listen, we're going to be going into the spiritual gifts, and we're going to see that in the early church, there were lots of signs of the power of God at work, like tongues and miracles and healings. But the same Word of God that tells us those fantastic things that authenticated the apostles, said these are God's men. Those same things can be counterfeited by the kingdom of darkness. The same Bible tells us that. And so now there too, what do we need? We need discernment in that area. We can't just say because it's powerful, it's from God. That's not true. There's power associated with the kingdom of darkness. But this life that God invites us to share with him through his word, this Zoe life in the Greek, the spiritual life, eternal life, it's a life that's characterized by mature, virtuous love. And that can only come from God. That's another thing Satan's not capable of, by the way. Satan's not capable of the kind of mature, virtuous love that comes from God, that would lay down one's life for his friends. Satan would never do that. I hope you understand that. He would never do that. That's just not in him. So that mature, virtuous love that is the crown of the fruit of the Spirit cannot be counterfeited by the Satan. It can only come from God. And so that's very encouraging, that as you continue to learn the Word of God, you know that these things are being developed in you. The life of God, again, is one thing that Satan can't counterfeit. So be careful about falling in love with just knowledge for its own sake. You see, because what can happen is that if that's the issue, if the issue is I just want to be smart, then believe me, the kingdom of darkness can come around and bring into your life a counterfeit that's going to make you feel really smart. You see, that's not the end game. Be careful about who can win debates. You know, there's a lot of that out there, and it's okay. There's a room for that. Christian apologetics is about that, where the Christians are debating the other side. Okay, there's room for that. But just because somebody's a better debater does not mean that they're right. I don't want to say anything too much about that tonight. You can figure out, go in any direction you want with that last statement. Really, just because they're a better debater doesn't mean they're right. Just because somebody wins an argument doesn't mean they're right. I mean, a lot of people would have looked at Jesus Christ before Pilate, and he didn't say very much at all. And they said, well, Pilate won that argument, but Jesus Christ was the truth standing there that day. So be careful about that kind of thing. You see, the world will use arguments that sound persuasive in order to try to wrestle your soul away from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. The issue is not being smart or winning arguments or any kind of knowledge. The issue is particular knowledge, the knowledge that's in the Word of God, the knowledge that leads you. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. You see, the way, becoming born again, leads to the truth that sets you free in the Word of God, and ultimately it's that life that he's bringing to us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. So I want to make sure you don't misunderstand 1 Timothy 6, 20. Don't misunderstand. Of course, there's content in real, genuine Christianity. It's the Bible. It's the New Testament in particular. That's knowledge. That's information. It's good. We have to keep that. That's our protection, our bulwark against lies and deception. What I'm saying is don't fall in love with just being smart. Understanding that God has a purpose in providing this knowledge to bring us more and more to the knowledge of the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and that life that he has for us. And I just want to make that important, because a lot of people fall by the wayside when they come across somebody who seems smarter than their pastor. Now, that's not going to happen here, of course. I'm just teasing. No, really, they think the smartest guy wins, you know, and that's wrong. That's just not true. After all, just got to remember one thing, and that is, in terms of intellect, Satan's got a better intellect than any human being walking. All right? So, and he can provide that to his servants. All right? So that's not the issue. The issue is it really the Word of God? Is it the Word of God that sets you free? Is it the Word of God that points to Jesus Christ? Or is it a counterfeit of that? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, this is Paul writing to Timothy, of course, guard what has been entrusted to you, the gospel, the Bible teachings, particularly the mystery teachings of the New Testament. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. See, there it is again. There's the counterfeit. There's a false knowledge out there. And these are arguments that are going to oppose the truth of the Word of God. And very often, it's going to come in the disguise of somebody that says, I know better about God than what that guy is saying. I know better about even Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ, and this is something that is shocking but true. He said, watch out, because there'll be false Christs that come on the scene. And of course, we've seen that. You know, I was just shocked today, once again, reading some of the material I was reading about some of the false teachers out there and how they claim to be Christ. So even that. And so we have to realize that there's a lot of things out there that are falsely called knowledge that are nothing but doctrines of demons. I said, avoid worldly and empty chatter. Don't get into arguments over nothing. opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Notice verse 21, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. You get involved in that and you go astray from the faith, from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. The only reliable knowledge is what you find in your Bibles. It is the mind of Christ. Now, am I saying that you can't learn anything else? I'm not saying that. Sure, can you open up a history book and learn history? Yes. That's not in the Bible? Of course you can. Can you study physics that's not in the Bible and be getting information? Of course you can. But what I'm talking about in terms of reliable is the truth that sets you free. When you're trying to determine what is it that I really need to know in order to live, in order to be protected from the lies, the only way, the only thing that's reliable in that area is what you find in your Bibles. You can study science, but anytime, you know, people want to compare science to the Bible, I always have to ask them, what science? What year? What year of science do you want to use? Because if we had gone back to 100 years ago, I'll use physics because that's what I majored in college. If we had been able, let's say 100 years ago, to take the most advanced knowledge of physics and just put it against the Bible, and if somehow we were able to determine that the Bible agrees 100% with the physics of 1905, let's say. We would get up there and say, we've done an exhaustive study, and the Bible lines up 100% with the physics of the year 1905, when Einstein, let's say, came out with relativity. All right? If we had been able to make that declaration, you know what we'd be saying? We'd be saying the Bible ain't right. You want to know why? Because that science changed 5 years later. You see, somebody else comes along and has a different kind of perspective on science. They changed. They erased a lot of things and put new stuff in there. You know, relativity and quantum physics, that wasn't even around in 1905. Came later. So if we were kind of foolish enough to get up and say it agreed 100% with that body of knowledge in 1905... then by the time 1920 came, we'd have to stand up and say, I guess the Bible's not in agreement with science anymore. Because why? The Bible didn't change. Science did. So ultimately, what's ultimately reliable, that no matter what happens, you can rely on it, is what's in this book. The things that God stands behind. The things that he wants you to know about why you're here. About the fact that we're sinners. About what he did about the fact that we were sinners. About who Jesus Christ is. What he did on the cross. What his cross means for the human race. What his resurrection means. Where Jesus Christ is now. And what is God's design for the church. And every one of us as believers are members of that body. These are the things that, you know, we're going to be someday believers in Christ. We're going to be raptured and we're going to be with the Lord and we're going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we're going to look and we're going to realize that those ultimately were the only things that mattered, that those things that we're bringing with us, that we can leap over our physical deaths and still capture them in our souls, that when we gather together in the rapture, they're still going to be as relevant or more so than they are tonight. And millions of years from now, when the new Jerusalem is here, when the new heavens and the new earth are here, and we're around the Lord singing and rejoicing and ministering to the universe on his behalf, we're still going to be able to look at all those things and say that they're relevant, they're the most important things of all. What we know about Jesus Christ, what he did with the church and so forth. That's what I mean about reliable, permanent. What you find in your Bibles, the mind of Jesus Christ. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to, as we saw in Colossians 2, we need to attain to the wealth that comes from understanding what's in our Bibles. The true knowledge of God's mystery, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we've been looking at discernment and looking at the idea that discernment helps us to distinguish between good and evil. And again, I talked about the fact that we can see our lives as a maze in certain respects, that we're placed in our life. And you can think about this maybe your life right now. You're placed in a certain set of circumstances right now. And there are things that are authentically from God, they're genuine. There are things that are fake. There are things that are counterfeits. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the difference between any two baseball teams when I say genuine and counterfeit, but you can draw your own conclusions about that. But the fact of the matter is that the big arrow leading out to life is with the Boston Red Sox. That's the only thing I'll say about that on that graph. But the fact of the matter is that you can think of your life in time as a maze. And the issue is that you've been placed in there. You've been born a sinner. And we're placed in a world that is full of evil. And yet God's on the scene. And the Holy Spirit's on the scene. And his word's on the scene. So there's a mixture of good and evil in our life right now. It's a maze. And And you know, the Bible tells us that left to ourselves, we're not going to be able to figure this out, especially because when you realize that it's one thing to have this view of your life, but this is God's view. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows where you are and how to get you to life. But you don't, you see, all the time. See, this is your view of the same thing. You're in the maze. You know, you wake up and you don't know what's necessarily happening. You don't really know what direction to go in life. And you can become like these kids and just have that goofy look. I have that goofy look on my face all the time. I had it today, spiritually speaking, in my soul. That was the look. When I was looking at some of the apostasies that were going on and realizing that, you know, but for the grace of God, I could fall for so many of them myself and be totally, literally, I was picturing myself. If I hadn't been rescued by some great Bible teachers and some friends that turned me on to the teaching of the Word of God, I know where I would be involved in this garbage right now. I'd be saying that there's multiple ways to God and trying to, because I'm like this analytical person that would want to like figure out what's in common between Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity. Believe me, I'd be there. So I'm reading about this stuff and it's a little bit too real, if you know what I'm saying. And that's why sometimes I have to step back and say, you know what? Without Christ, I'm lost. Without Him, I can do nothing. I need the truth that sets me free. I'm right there. You're right there. We're in that maze sometimes and we don't know which way to turn. And as I mentioned on Sunday, each one of us gets his own maze. And this was such a winner on Sunday. I was going to bring it back again today. Just realizing that I'm putting myself on the line more than anybody else because I have both a wife and a daughter who's blonde. And believe me, you know, but that's just a little joke. But there's a principle behind it, which is that we're all in our own maze, that we're all dealing with our own issues, you know, and where I'm at may not be where you're at with things. And we have a different challenge that's associated with moving forward in the plan of God right now. And so why am I saying all of this? Well, if you think about where mankind started in the garden, and you think about the fact that there was the tree of life, and God's view of things was that we would always turn to that tree of life and have our spirits nourished by that. He wanted us to stay there. Unfortunately, when we fell, it was because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we got into this maze that we're in now of good and evil. And God had to put the angels and say, you can't come back to the tree of life because you're in this situation where you've fallen. And until I rescue you, you cannot be that person. And so we're in this situation where we're in a maze of good and evil. We were in life before the fall, but we fell, and now we're in this situation. Every human being is. Where things look confusing, where of our natural mind we can't tell the difference between good and evil. We don't know whether the path we're on, naturally speaking, leads to life or leads to death. We need God's view of it to come on the scene and enlighten us with His Word and to give us help with the Holy Spirit to make our way through this maze and get us back to the life that's from God. You can think about this as the gospel, that if somebody here never hears the gospel, they're going to end their life and they're going to be in the place of death. Well, they never believes the gospel. And therefore, when they do, at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You can look at it that way. But after salvation, we still face the same challenges, that we want to move forward in the plan of God. And you know, the book of Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. See, that's the problem. Here you are with the X, and then you of your own accord, in other words, not using the tools of discernment, not using the Word of God, but just on yourself, wandering through life. You're going to find ways that seem right to you, but unfortunately they lead to death. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, discernment is not for its own sake. It's a tool provided by God. Please turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus Christ talks about the maze and the problem that we have in it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. You see, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. It leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a very sobering thing that the Lord is telling us right here. He's saying, you know what? If you just leave it to your own natural means, you will follow the same path that many other people follow. It's a broad way. It's a wide way. But it leads to destruction. It's the way that men would naturally go, but for the intervention of the truth of God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then the truth that sets us free afterwards. That's the way that's narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. It's narrow because there's only one. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That's narrow. In other words, if you think about all the different ways that are presented to a man or a woman on how to live their life, there are hundreds of them. There are thousands of them. There, you know, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper, pick up a magazine, and you'll see different arguments about how to live your life. I was picking up can't believe I even have this, but I'm already eligible for AARP. It's a scary thought. I don't know. They must have really changed that number down to like 35, I guess, to have me in the database. And I'm looking at that, and I'm not picking on AARP necessarily, but everything out there has a message, you know, and I'm looking at this, and everything's about, you may be 95 years old, but you have a great life, you know, that kind of message that's out there, and, you know, all these people, that movie stars that are 70 and are still climbing mountains and all that stuff, and there's this little tagline, and I can't remember it precisely, but it's something along the lines of, eat great, have a great time, and party your butt off. And that was like the message. Now, that's a way of life. There's a message, you know. Men that get Playboy magazine, there's a message. This is how you should live. The whole magazine tells you this is the good life. Here's how you live it. This is what you should drink. This is what your wife should look like and all this other stuff, right? It's a message. There are many ways out there. People, you know, every time you look at an advertisement, they're telling you a message about how to live. You know, going to certain schools tells you a message about how to live. Certain cultural groups, certain clubs that you want to join. And the point is that there's hundreds of ways that people can go and proceed in their life. And of all those hundreds of ways, there's only one that leads to real life. That's really narrow. And when you get this, this is one of the things that was challenging me today to keep straight on, believe it or not, which is that you have to keep that in front of you. That, you know what? Jesus Christ really did say, nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's what he said. And that means that all these other religions are false. Okay, they're all false religions. Now, when you say something like that at a cocktail party or in front of your friends, you're going to be accused of being what? Narrow. You're going to be accused of being narrow when you say something like that. That's exactly what he's talking about in Matthew 7:14. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So let's say that's step one, that's the gospel. And you found it and you believe in Jesus Christ. Well, now you're a Christian. Guess what? It's still true. This principle is true once you become a Christian. That the way that leads to more life continues to be narrow. All I have to do to hopefully convince you of this is just get a mental picture in your head of any mega church that you want to pick. It could be on TV where they have 30,000 people. It could be down the street, whatever. Just picture a megachurch, okay? And picture another one and another one. Now, when you're done doing that, that's in the Protestant world. That's in the evangelical world. Now, I want you to picture a Catholic church. In fact, I want to picture all the Catholic churches you know about. And picture about all the parking lots. I remember when I used to drive home from Bible class in Massachusetts and it was a Catholic church that I had to go by. And inevitably, on a Sunday anyway, the Catholic church, they had a policeman directing traffic to get the people out of the parking lot. We almost never had to do that at Grace Bible Church. Only when we had a conference, maybe. Even then, we were too cheap to hire police, so we had our own guys do it. Right? So even once you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The way continues to be what? Narrow. And only few find it. Only few really come to the idea that this book, like I was saying tonight, is it. And that you're going to live your life completely according to what this book has to say. And that you're going to daily search the scriptures to learn what's in here. And you are going to submit to the discipline of a teaching ministry of a pastor teacher whom God has provided the church for that purpose. Few find that way. You know, even those that are in churches, many of them, they're not studying the Word of God. All right, whatever they're doing, it's entertainment, it's this, it's that. I mean, some of the things that I don't want to pick on people, but some of the things I'm reading about my brother churches and sister churches are just kind of funny in a way, you know, all this secret sensitive this and emergent that, and we're going to have this kind of thing for this kind of person who can only study for 10 minutes, and then we're going to let them bring their dogs over here if they want to bring their dogs over here, and we're going to have the singles group over here, and you know, and blah, 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 and we're going to have a cocktail hour over here, and it's like, God, it's a lot of work. I probably just like them. I'm too lazy. I don't want to do all that. I just want to get up and teach. That's all I want to do. But thank God that is what I want to do, because that's the calling of the pastor teacher, is to study and teach. The way is narrow that leads to more life. You'll find this out if you haven't already. And you'll be challenged again and again by different things in your life that will cause you to want to veer off from that simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ on a daily basis. So you hear and you realize that the narrow path can only be one that is lit by God's word. That's the key. How do you know that you're on the narrow path? It's lit by the word of God. And sometimes you have to come right down to say, and I was here today, and I keep talking about today, but whatever, when I was looking at all the apostasy, and I had to just totally get disciplined to say, I am only going to consider truth to be what I know is written in God's word. And you get it out there and you look at it and you make sure that you have it right. You know, like I said, a lot of times you have to be careful when somebody is presenting something that's supposed to be Christian, okay, but they never refer to a Bible verse to back up what they're saying. Be careful. Doesn't mean they're not true, but be careful about that, because it should be backed up by God's word. Everything should be backed up by God's word. Now, I'm not a scrupulous person that says that you can't get up there and have a paragraph without the scripture verse. Okay, but in general, it better be backed up by the word of God. Why? Because that is how you know that you are being presented the truth. That's how the decisions you make to be discerning can only be lit up by God's word. That's the narrow path. You know, in Psalm 119, it says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. This may seem hard, too hard, but it's not. Remember, the same Lord that said that path that leads to life is narrow, and there are few who find it, also said that, come to me, all you labor and are rest and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Seems like a contradiction, but it isn't, because here's the thing. Once you understand and orient to God's word, it's like a pathfinder. It keeps leading you on. It keeps pulling you in. God is on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? You will find it. I hope you found this out already. That there's built in, you know, the word of God is alive and powerful. When you take in the word of God, it gives you more energy to keep moving. And it even sheds light on some of the other areas you want to move to next. God's ways work. Okay, so once you're involved in orienting to God's word, it will continue to bring you along, as long as you stay oriented to God's word and don't drift off in some other area onto myths and so forth. Look at John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, his truth, his person, his thinking, is to lead us to life. He said, you'll have the light of life. You'll find your way along that path. Go to chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. You see, God's on the scene in the maze of the life we live, but the kingdom of darkness is on the scene too, and they're trying to get us to go on that narrow road that leads to destruction. But notice how the Lord puts it in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the death part. That's where he wants to take you. I came that they may have what? Life, and have it abundantly. That is what he came to give to us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And one of the grace realities that is so wonderful is that evil has built into itself the seeds of its own destruction. It just does. You, even if you make a decision to go in the plan, in the ways of destruction, you go away from what the Word of God says, and you go into what you want to do, or what your lust pattern tells you you want to do, or the way the world wants you to live. One of the most gracious things, because God's in control, gang, okay? You know, we know this. I mean, Satan could not lift a finger with Job until he came and asked permission from God. God is in control, and he's going to bring this out according to his, to glorify himself, okay? One of the things that is just true is that evil has built into it the seeds of its own destruction. He says things in the Word of God that says, you know what? Here are these guys, they're over here, they're trying to mislead people and bring them away, but trust me, they will not make further progress. He says, those who dig a pit for somebody else end up falling into it themselves. Over and over and over again, we see this truth in the Word of God. And it means the same thing for us. When we decide we're going to go in a direction that's against the plan of God, eventually we're going to find out that it led to death. It led to destruction. You wake up one day and you realize that you just destroyed so many wonderful things in your life. And you did it. You chose to go against the plan of God. And it led you to the place of death. That's the only place it can go. Look, he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So if you're not going on the narrow road that leads to life, guess where you're going to get to? You're going to get to a place where you're going to have life robbed from you, when it's going to destroy the very thing you thought you were creating for yourself. Read the life stories of people who become millionaires but never feed their souls, and they find out that there's no meaning in all the money that they have. Some of them end up killing themselves, either directly or slowly, with some of the things that they do to themselves, some of the self-destructive tendencies that we have. I'm reading a book about a man who became a Christian in China about 150 years ago. But first, he had to go in the direction that so many were going in his day and age. It was about 1860s, and opium was a big deal in China at the time. And he decided for himself that life got a little bit boring, and he'd heard about this thing, and he knew it was wrong, but he was going to try it. And it ended up destroying his whole life. You know, he almost lost his wife, he almost lost all his riches, he lost his farm. All that's built in. I'm not being legalistic about these kind of things. It's just real. You know, you make those decisions in any area of life. Find out, you know. I actually hope you don't find out, but you know, you will. We all do it. You know, go against God's plan in any area of life, in the area of sex and marriage. See whether it really brings you happiness. See whether, you know, adultery really brings you happiness. It's not going to bring you happiness. You know, the world wants you to think it is, but it won't. Any area of life that goes against the Word of God, that's true. Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And you say, ah, that's nonsense. I'm going to go try it out for myself. Try it out for yourself. Find it. You watch. It's built in. The problems that will come, the destruction that will happen to your soul, that's built in, not to having money, but to loving it. It's built in. And you get on that path, the day will come where you'll realize that the Word of God is 100% true. And that's the grace of God. Grace of God at the end of this whole thing is that, you know, as much as the kingdom of darkness wanted to pump in death and destruction, the grace of God came on the scene and is stronger than all of that in the plan of God, the rescue of Jesus Christ, for those who go in that path, of course. And that's going to be at the end. We're going to be witnesses to the fact that God's ways are right. The kingdom of darkness's ways always, as the Word of God told us anyway, lead to death and destruction. Please go to John 14, verse 5. John chapter 14, verse 5. You know, it's funny. The things that were so new and exciting in terms of apostasy 150 years ago are obvious and laughable now. It's true. You know, I mean, I told you before about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They were the up-and-coming thing 100 years ago, and they had some prophecies. It's amazing about all these people that make prophecies, you know. Certain people were prophesying that the Jehovah's Witnesses kept prophesying, you know, the coming of Christ and all of that. And they had years. It's going to be 1910 for sure. And then 1910, we redid the numbers. Now it's going to be 1925. It's built in, all right? And you may laugh at them, but the same thing was going on in the 1990s. We had people getting up in the 1990s saying Jesus Christ is going to come back and do this. And people were saying all the homosexuals are going to be wiped out in 1995. Well, they weren't. You know, again and again and again, we find out that these false prophets are exposed. It doesn't prevent them from wanting to come back and do it again, but they're exposed for what they are. Just be alert to those things. It's interesting. I'm studying this thing again, that I think I may have mentioned a couple of years ago, called Dominion Theology. Now, there's a lot of variants of this thing, but the basic idea is that the church is going to come on and conquer the world, and then we're all done. We're going to whistle up to heaven and say, okay, come on down, Christ, you can come now, because we conquered the whole world for you. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that hopefully it does, because you've been well trained in dispensations to realize that the end times are not times where the church is triumphant over the whole world. And there's no kingdom here on earth until the king arrives on this earth, which is going to be at the second coming. But this thing has been around by 8 or 9 different names. And the reason that that's something that's kind of funny is because it comes under one name, and then it gets, you know, exposed to what it is, and it goes underground for a while. Then it comes under a new name. And I can't keep track. It's like that game with the kids that they in the amusement park or whatever, where there's like little moles that pop up. What's it called? Whack-a-mole. Yeah, whack-a-mole. It's like that. You know, here they are in 1979. They call themselves one thing. Bam! And then boom, in 1985, they call themselves something else. Bam! You know, but eventually it always gets exposed. So watch for that. You know, Solomon was right when he said there's nothing new under the sun. Under the sun. Of course, you know, this new creature in Christ. But under the sun, there's nothing new. The same things that the church is battling today were predicted in the epistles. I showed you some of that. The same things that the church is battling today were around the first century, for goodness sake. They just keep showing up in slightly different disguises, slightly different names, but it's the same old garbage. All right, John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You see, it's a very narrow road, but it's a very reliable road, the mind of Jesus Christ. He is the way, that's salvation. He is the truth, that's learning the Bible, growing spiritually. What does that lead to? The life. And that is the path that God wants you to take. There's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and of death. That's the good news, you know? And the good news is something we believe in for salvation, and then we live in. We live in the fact that, you know what? The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So if there's something in my life now that is tending toward sinning or tending towards situations of death, I know that the Holy Spirit has the ability to come on the scene with the word of God and turn me in a direction that means more life instead, whatever that might be. That is the promise of the word of God for those who follow the teachings of the word of God. So the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, the human race bought the lie that day. And ever since, we've been deceived, thinking we can tell the difference between good and evil. But in our natural state, we simply cannot tell the difference between good and evil. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. And the natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, cannot understand them, because they're spiritually appraised. Discernment is not for its own sake. It is a tool provided by God to help you make your way through the maze of good and evil back to life. Again, discernment is not for its own sake. It is a tool provided by God to help you make your way through the maze of good and evil back to life. In our natural minds, we can't tell the difference between good and evil. The way that seems right to a man is the way that leads to death. And a natural-minded man, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 2, cannot accept the things of the Spirit and cannot understand them. And I want to just illustrate this in closing tonight. You remember our friends Kalu and Kaku, right? Good and evil from Hebrews 5:14. These are the Greek words for good and evil at the end of Hebrews 5:14. Kalu and Kaku. So, but just looking at those, can you tell which one is the friend or the foe? You have to remind yourself of it, right? Kalu is the friend. Kaku, just Kaka, I guess is why I would. It's a horrible thing to say behind the pulpit, but that's how I remember the difference. But you see, now it's one thing when I'm setting them up there side by side, but how about that? It's a little different story, isn't it? See? Could you know which one? Tell me, all right. Tell me which column and which row the stinker was in. Huh? Third column, third row? Oh, you're good. You're good. Yeah, but can you see that's kind of a challenge, though. I'm sorry. That is kind of a challenge. Some of you have better eyesight than others. But see, that is the issue when it comes to counterfeiting. You see, that's the strategy of the kingdom of darkness. Put a lot of things that look good, but right somewhere is going to be the kiss of death, so to speak, the lie that's going to trap us. And that's the strategy, and that is why we need the Word of God to come on the scene. Now, if I was really clever, I would have another slide where all of the kalus were in light, and then the kaku was in black, and then you'd think I was a really good designer, but I'm not that good. But that's the situation we're really in. And we always are going to need help from God's Word to recognize the leaven that is in there, recognize the falsehood that is built into a system or into a teaching that we need to recognize, and that's discernment. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to go to your Word. Thank you for the opportunity to have our minds renewed and to have this issue brought to our attention once again of the fact that we are faced with so many counterfeits and that we do need the light of the Word of God to shine upon the right path, that narrow way that leads to life. And we thank you that that's been provided. And all we have to do is keep orienting to the truth that sets us free, the mind and thinking of Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.